You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, October 4th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you, RadioAlbion.com. Wrapping up the work week. Hopefully you have the weekend off. If not, I'm glad you have a chance to join us at least here today. If you do have the weekend off and you've missed any of our great content we've had up this week, I hope you'll get a chance to download it. Give it a listen. It's all really good stuff. For today's show, I wanted to do something a little different. And we look around at the world that's insane, of course. And it's easy to forget. And some people, in all honesty, they're younger and they don't know because it didn't happen in their lifetime. And I think one of the benefits, one of the obligations that we have as we get older is to share the proper perspective with those among us who are younger, to share that this isn't necessarily all new. We things have gone to an extreme on the scale of insanity here in clown world. And we look at this insanity around us, and it's so often easy to think that this is all something new, that what we're seeing is all something new, and it's not. It's become in some ways more extreme, in some ways not. I think what it has become is more regular. In other words, a lot of the things we see as we go through what we'll talk about today, they used to be more spread out. The people were given more time to process things, soak them in. And now they're just deluging you with it. It's like we move from one thing to another thing, one narrative to the next, to the next, to the next. And the people aren't even being given a chance to process any of this. I believe this too is by design. In the UK, during the COVID thing, for instance, it turned out like all of the people on the board, as far as the government's COVID reaction, they were all psychologists, which tells us something about the great, the virus they were so worried about. The psychological manipulation of the population is being done intentionally, and I believe there's a reason they're hitting it. They're spamming us with it. It's kind of like these scam calls you get on your phone. I get them all the time. Usually I get one a day. This morning, before I record the show, I've already had four in the span of like 30 minutes. They've got a great financial offer for you. They just need you to give them all of your personal banking information, and they'll give you up to $70,000+ or whatever the hell. It's a totally legitimate company, by the way. That's why they use a different phone number every time they call you. And the number they leave on their automated message is an entirely different phone number from the ones they're spamming you with. That's the way the government is hitting us with all these different narratives. They're just bombarding us with it. Perhaps like the scam callers, they're hoping just once we might pick up and buy into it. But all in all, this isn't new. I sat down before doing the show and I just jotted down some of the things I've seen in my lifetime that they've presented to us, that they have done. Things maybe are long forgotten. And I'm going to go through this list in no particular order. I'm not going through them in a chronological order, but I just jotted some things down that maybe a lot of you have forgotten or maybe not even familiar with. I don't know. And to just remind us, just to serve as a reminder that these things we see them doing now, though they're happening more frequently, these are by no means anything new. Now, I've already mentioned in passing the COVID hoax. And it's an amazing thing because it wasn't even that long ago. This was just a few years ago. And when you look now and people post up pictures of what people were actually doing then, just a few short years ago. Driving around in their cars with a mask and a face shield on by themselves. People wrapping themselves in like a plastic bubble for fear of the deadly virus, which, if you looked around, was nowhere to really be seen. And you look at it, and this is funny. I'm going to get a little... You think people have learned a lesson. You think. I always want to think, well, the people have caught on. And yet, time and time again, they show that no. I saw a deal. Somebody was pointing. I've had actually several people point out to me in the last couple of days. They're going out and buying all the toilet paper. Can you remember that from the COVID? Everybody ran out and bought up all the damn toilet paper. And it never made sense to me. It's like, why are they all running out and buying toilet paper? But for some reason, they got it in their heads. It went around on Facebook. And they all ran out and bought toilet paper. Looking in retrospect, everybody says, well, that was stupid. What the hell was wrong with people? Some of those pointing that out, probably people that went out and did it. And yet, it's been pointed out to me, they're doing it again. They're running out and buying all the toilet paper. I saw a picture from a Walmart just today of the shelves wiped out from freaking toilet paper. They're buying the toilet paper again because this time on Facebook, they heard what with the dock workers on strike, there's not going to be any toilet paper. Are Americans so obsessed with wiping their ass that is the first thing that comes into their mind? Never mind that probably 80 to 90% of everything in this country is imported. So yes, the dock workers being on strike, if it drags on long enough, is going to drive prices up and there could be some shortages. But the number one thing you're worried about is what you're going to wipe your ass with. And they're doing it again. Reaching people, waking people up. This is an exercise. This is one of those things that people, probably a lot of people, even friends, probably disagree with me on. This notion of quote unquote waking people up. When you've got COVID this not that far in the rearview mirror, and you can snicker at people running around and buying up the toilet paper, and here we are just a few short years later, and the same type of rumor, and they run out and buy toilet paper again. Some men can't be reached, as the saying goes. Some people just aren't going to learn. People jump out and run out and buy up all the toilet paper yet again. You can't reach them. You're not going to quote unquote wake them up. Now, the COVID hoax, that's a recent thing. Everybody listening to this remembers the COVID hoax, and you can look at it. And again, the narratives that went with that. You know, and none of them made any sense for a reason. They said you cannot, your elderly grandparent who is on their deathbed in the nursing home, you can't go see them because, you know, you could spread the deadly virus to them and they could die, but they're fixing to die anyway. It made no sense. And yet they did these things. We've got to segregate the kids out in the parking lot. You know, you've seen the pictures of the kids in their little squares. They have to stay this arbitrary number of feet apart from one another because the government says so. All of this training for a hoax. I never did it. I walked around just like I always did. And guess what? Those around me didn't drop dead. I didn't drop dead. It was a hoax. And you would like to think that people aren't going to keep falling for it, but they're buying the toilet paper again. Is it really a leap to say if they come up with yet another virus, they're all going to put themselves back in the plastic bubbles? The same people that have been now acting like they didn't do that will be back doing that. But this is nothing new. I remember back in the day, the AIDS hoax, and it's a hoax. Some of you might be surprised that I would say that's a hoax. Well, what do you mean? AIDS is real. It's not. It was a hoax. When you understand the context of it, when you've read different papers, you understand it was a hoax. I've seen articles written by doctors, older doctors, or these are older articles. These doctors are probably long gone, that, you know, pointed out that back in the 1970s, they were treating homosexuals with these exact same symptoms. They just called it grids back then. It doesn't take a leap of understanding to figure out that if you put your body through things that these people put their bodies through, you're going by extension to destroy your immune system. If you regularly, I'm not trying to be vulgar here, but we have to speak of what we're talking about so we understand. If you regularly go to parties where men ram their arms up to the elbow into your ass, you're tearing things in there. You're leaking fecal matter into your bloodstream. So you're overtaxing your immune system on a regular basis. Of course, at some point in time, your immune system says, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't care how much of a hot rod car you have. If you drive it everywhere with the gas pedal matted to the floor and the tachometer bumping off of the red line, at some point in time, you're going to blow the engine. These guys have blown their engines, and all of a sudden, though, in the 80s, it was a new disease. And the hoaxery of it comes, they made this concerted effort to make it not about homosexuals. This is where the real hoax come in. Yes, these people were getting this condition and dying, but they turned it into this hoax that has nothing to do with homosexuality. I'm in high school back in the 80s. And they were literally telling us, like, if you had sex with your high school girlfriend, you could get AIDS from that bitch. She could give you AIDS. You don't want to wind up with AIDS. They were telling teenagers that they too could get grids, what amounts to grids. They too could get this homosexual disease by having sex with their high school sweetheart. It was a hoax. And yet billions of dollars were made off of it, weren't it? It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Billions of dollars were pumped into AIDS research. We got to come up with AIDS research. And then they found a virus to blame it on, the HIV. I read an article many years ago by the doctor, the scientist who discovered HIV. You would think you would know this guy's name. I don't remember his name either. But I read this article by this guy talking about his life story. By the guy who you would think would be celebrated because he discovered the HIV, which allegedly causes the AIDS. Amazingly enough, this scientist who had discovered the HIV said it has nothing to do with AIDS. He said there's no correlation to that. And he said as soon as he began speaking to this fact that this has nothing to do with this condition these people have. In fact, he said it basically amounts to a minor sexually transmitted disease that you actually get over in about a week or so on your own. As soon as that happened, he found himself completely ostracized. He was literally banned. They would have security make sure he couldn't get into any of these AIDS conferences. He could not publish. He could not speak to these things. And this is the guy that allegedly discovered the alleged virus that was going to kill you if you had sex with your high school sweetheart, just like the homosexuals. Billions of dollars were reaped from this in research. And remember when they came out with the AIDS drug? Oh, they've got something to treat the AIDS. And I remember watching a documentary about it. And this was back before the internet was really a thing. And this documentary on TV, and they were talking to these homosexuals who were on these AIDS drugs. And they had all of these gruesome, horrible symptoms. And I remember they were marveled and they said, the medication, ironically enough, causes the same symptoms as AIDS. And nobody at the time, the person doing the film or the people being interviewed, thought that's kind of funny. Is it this sort of strange? As it turns out, the patent was running out. There were cancer drugs at the time that were going to be taken off the market because the side effects were so severe and what they were doing to people was more deadly, basically, than the cancer. And I believe, if I remember correctly, I'm doing this off the top of my head, the patent was also getting ready to run out. But these cancer drugs were going to be taken off the market. Lo and behold, they discovered that these same drugs are miraculously a treatment for AIDS, for the HIV. it gets repatented as an HIV drug. And of course, the price quintuples or whatever the hell. And the pharmaceutical company rakes in billions. As the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same hoaxery. It's they just keep rebranding and money keeps getting made. Speaking of hoaxes that result in massive amounts of profit, big hoax that happened years later, the Y2K hoax. Y2K, everything, we were going to have just a collapse of society when it turned over to the year 2000. Reason being, the computers were reading the years in two digits, and we were at 99. And when it rolled over, it was going to go 00. And the computers were all going to think it was the year 1900, but it's actually the year 2000. And because the computer thinks it's 1900 and the actual year is 2000, this is going to cause a rift in the space-time continuum and everything is going to shut down. We're not going to be able to get gas, food, groceries. Everything is over. The power grid is going to collapse. Unless we spend billions of dollars to address the problem. Now, this was in obviously 1999-ish, 98-ish, 99-ish, getting ready for 2000. And, you know, the whole internet thing and computers were still kind of, you know, voodoo for a lot of us. And even then, at that time, and I don't consider myself necessarily very computer literate even now after all these years. I mean, I can obviously do basic things. But even back then, in my doughy-eyed innocence, I was pointing out true believers. True believers would come up to me and be like, man, are you ready? Because I'm telling you, something is going to happen. All of these, you know, witchcraft computers, something's going to happen. And I remember at the time saying, what difference does it make if the computer actually thinks it's 1900 instead of year 2000 because it says 00? So what? I mean, if you get your receipt at the grocery store, instead of saying January 1st, 2000, it's going to say January 1st, 1900. That'll just be kind of funny. I don't understand why the computer's just going to simply quit working because it's got the year wrong. And people would shake their heads and say, oh, you just don't understand the black magic. It helped, see, because the whole computer, the internet thing was very new to people still at that time. And it was kind of a black box. People didn't really understand how any of these things worked. So it was easier to sell the hoax. We just need to spend, again, all this money. And we can avert societal collapse. There were doom stories in late 1999 that many, many institutions have not spent enough money yet. And so while some disaster may be avoided, other disasters, you know, there's still going to be disruptions. Everybody hunker down. Everybody get ready. I knew there was a guy. There was a guy I knew. I was just acquainted with. I just knew who he was. And he was a full-on believer. This guy literally built a bunker on his property. He was shipping in pallets of dehydrated food. He was having bulk fuel storage, buying guns and ammunition because he knew this was real. And January 1st, the year 2000, I woke up, turned on the light switch, drove to town, got gas, went to the grocery store, and went about my day. It was a hoax. It was a lie. And billions of dollars were made off of it. They just keep doing the same things and people don't learn. They don't learn. They just do it harder. Go buy the toilet paper. I don't know. People just, you know, I saw a story the other day talking about people not, they don't understand. I saw a news, local news story the other day. I had it on mute, but I unmuted it. And I was amazed. This was a fluff piece on the local news telling everybody, trying to explain to everybody how immigration, all of this immigration, is so good for the economy and how we just have to have it. And the somewhat, shall we say, overweight and unattractive woman that was doing part of this story, she stands up there and blurts out these statistics, not understanding that those very statistics counter the point she's making. She's making this point of how bad we need all of this immigration. And she says something along the lines of immigrants make up roughly 17% of the population, but they're doing 20% of the jobs. That's why we need them so bad. And it amazed me that somebody could sit there and quote a statistic like that and not grasp or understand that the statistic she's quoting is actually making the opposite point. And yet, right overhead, stand up there with a straight face and quote this like, this really, these numbers prove my point of how beneficial all this immigration is. Now, we look back at the economy, and because the economy is bad now, it is obviously bad. And you look in the economy in, say, the 80s or even the 1990s, you know, people believed the economy was so much better then. And the answer to that is kind of yes and no. The inflation hadn't taken over to the point, and people, you know, there was less of a disconnect between what people, what things cost and what people made. There wasn't that huge gap that we have now. Just as an example, you know, in the early 90s, I was a young man, just getting started on life, just getting started in life. And if I wanted to go buy a new car, I could go buy a new car. I mean, it might pinch my budget, but I could make that happen. It wasn't outside of the realm of possibility. And again, I'm a young man just getting started in life, don't have a lot of experience, don't have a, you know, I didn't have like a high paying job, but with a normal job, I could still, if I wanted to, go buy a new car. And here I am all these decades later, when you would think, oh, well, you've got the more life experience and maturity, so now you should be making all kinds of money. A new vehicle is out of the realm of possibility for me. I'm driving around a 20-year-old vehicle that has nearly 300,000 miles on it. That's what I drive around. In the early 90s, if you would have said, hey, could you see yourself driving around a 20-year-old vehicle with 300,000 miles? I would have laughed in your face. It was like, no, I'll go buy a new one. It might pinch the budget, but I'll go buy a new one. That's how great the disconnect is now. And it's harder to paper it over. You see, the concept of a good economy in the 90s is a kind of a combination. There wasn't that great disconnect, so in that, it was better. However, this notion that it was really, really good, it was papered over. You see, they opened up the credit spigot. People were getting credit cards left and right, and they were deceiving. I remember my very first credit card. I wasn't that far out of high school. I got my very first credit card, and it had a credit limit of like $800 on it, which then seemed like a lot of money. And why I could spend charge $200 on it, and my minimum payment was like $20. And I'm like, I've hit the big time. Everybody thought they had hit the big time. The government operates in the same way. You know, I remember back in the 90s when the great prophet Ross Perot appeared on the scene. And he told everybody, the prophet told everybody that if you really think you're going to get the government budget under control, this is the last moment to do it. He said, if you wait another 20 years, it's going to be too late. You're just not going to be able to fix it. It'll be beyond the grasp. He said, we can fix it now. And we're going to have to get really, really serious about how we do that. And everybody laughed at him and voted for the guy with nice hair, whose wife is still with us today, appearing on the scene because it was supposed to be her turn. They voted for this guy. And now here we are, and people talk about the budget. It's as if you're really going to ever do anything with that. So we just keep rolling on like the credit card's never going to max out. It amazes me that even today, people will have this idea that the government cares about them. The government will treat them fairly. Why, they just wouldn't do that, will be their response if people point out that they might do all sorts of things. You know, if you said, well, they could do this false flag and say set off a bomb in an American city to blame it on Iran, well, they would kill a bunch of Americans. I remember the day that they stormed the Branch Davidians in Waco. I remember that day. The local TV coverage of it before it hit the national news. It came down to there was talk in Washington of getting rid of the ATF because they're such an obviously redundant agency, and at the very least, possibly cutting their budget. So the ATF had to do a TV show. They brought TV cameras and did this hut out of these stock trailers. They had these gooseneck stock trailers with wood in there so you couldn't see all the hutters in there. And then they come hutting out on the Branch Davidians for no reason. The sheriff in that area at the time said, well, if you wanted to pick up David Koresh, he comes to town every Saturday, I could just drive out there to their camp and tell him to come back to the office with me. But you see, that wasn't the point. They needed a TV show so you could see the hutters. Only the Branch Davidians shot back. And ultimately, the government's response was to burn the kids alive. They set those people on fire. They tried to claim it was an accident, but that's been, for the most part, debunked. And they killed those people. They burned them up. American citizens. They don't care. They've always been like this. It was just a little less obvious, maybe. Branch Davidians, yes, they were kind of weirdos. You see, that's the way it always works. See, people that are little, they can be framed up as they're kind of weirdos. It's easier for people then to shrug it off and say, well, they're weirdos. They wouldn't do that to me. Fast forward, and we look at when the government is clamped down and the social media clamped down, they've shut down freedom of speech and ostracized and criminalized nationalists. And the conservative shrugged and said, well, those people are weirdos. And then when it came and they did the same thing to many of the conservatives, oh, how they whined and cried. You see, they always start with the quote unquote weirdos. The Branch Davidians weren't breaking any laws, so as to speak. I mean, one of the narratives, because they had to float all these different narratives out because they kept crashing and burning. And one of the narratives was they were sexually abusing these kids. That's why. That's why the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms people somehow had to go save these kids. And they eventually, their answer to saving them was to burn them alive. Randy Weaver, Ruby Ridge. There's another one. I read the book back in the day. I read Randy Weaver's book about that. There's an eye-opening thing for you to understand how your government actually views you, realistically. And I think it's important to do so that you don't foolishly, you know, blunder off into a position where you think they wouldn't do that. When you really understand, and I think that's one of the important things about understanding these things, is to understand what they are, who they are, and how they view you. Because if you don't understand that, and you go blundering off into something thinking, well, it's okay, they wouldn't do that to me. You need to understand that they will in a heartbeat. The FBI sniper that shot Randy Weaver's wife and killed her as she stood on the porch holding her baby in her arms has never been prosecuted, tried to this day. Don't think they wouldn't do that to me. This puts you in a bad position. One of the real, I always come back to one of the great illustrations of this is when you look at the setup and what happened to people at Charlottesville, the demonization and what happened. And again, conservatives chose not to look at this. They said, well, those guys were a bunch of weirdos. Look, they were Nazis in front of the cameras. And then January 6th comes around, and because they didn't understand what they were dealing with, they blundered into essentially the exact same setup. And then they're like, oh my gosh, why is, how, nobody, who could have known? But you should have known. You should have known. You should have looked and said, because again, they always start off with people that they can illustrate, they can portray. I'll get it spit out. They always start off with people that they can portray as outsiders. They're weirdos. These Branch Davidians, these weirdos. These people at Charlottesville, they're Nazi. They're not you. And it's easier for everybody to sit around and shrug. Well, that wouldn't happen to me because I'm not weirdo like those people. But the problem with that is, as they found out January 6th, yes, it'll apply to you as well. That's why it's important to understand. Understand who these people are, what they will do, how little meaning. You see, normal people, we have respect for life. You know, even people, you have people that you don't like, you know. People sit around and say, mouth off and say, I hate these politicians. You know, people say that and they'll mouth off about how they would do something to them. But the truth of the matter is, if they came to one of them face to face, your human empathy, you wouldn't do that. You know, because you're normal. You have a soul. It's important to understand how much these people disregard, have a blatant disregard for who you are, for your humanity. They don't care. You know, when people sit around and hand-wring over the U.S. government's support for what Israel is doing in Gaza and the West Bank, and they're like, why does our government do this? Ruby Ridge just called. Waco is on the phone. What do you mean? This is who they are. This isn't an anomaly. This is who these people are. This is what they're capable of. They do not, let me put a finer point on this. They do not think more of you as an American citizen living here. They don't think any more, your life is not any more important to them than a Palestinian in Gaza. Understand that. If nothing else, understand you don't mean anything more to them than a rando Palestinian in Gaza. You are at the same level as the Palestinians in Gaza. That's what you count for. Accept it. Because if you accept it and understand it, it's going to keep you out of trouble. It really will. Don't think, oh, they wouldn't do that to me. Because over the decades, yes, they have done those very things. They will lie. They will kill. They will murder. They will hoax. If they can make a dollar off of your death, they will kick you off the cliff. That is the reality. A final one for you, talking along those same lines. The Oklahoma City bombing. Timothy McVeigh. They hung everything on this guy, this Timothy McVeigh. The Oklahoma City bombing. You see, they blew up a building. At the time, the government had a narrative going of militias were the latest boogeyman. You think of it as militias in the 90s were the white supremacists of the 2010s. You know, the big boogeyman, they always have to have a boogeyman. This is the way this system functions. One of the key elements of the way this system functions. The boogeyman is Russia. The boogeyman is China. The boogeyman is Iran. The boogeyman is white supremacists. The boogeyman was militias. And they had to craft this narrative. And they blew up this federal building in Oklahoma City and said, this guy did it with a truckload of fertilizer. And that, this was before the internet was a real, you know, what it is now. So it was easier to pass some of this off. But even then, you had people, experts that looked at the destruction and were like, this wasn't done by that. This level of destruction, it's an amazing thing. And yet it miraculously fit right into their narrative. I remember reading an obscure article that didn't get much press at the time. And when they dug through the wreckage of the, and remember, they blew up a bunch of their own people, by the way. This is how much they think of you. But when they went through the wreckage, piecing things together, I remember reading this obscure article, and they said when they were going through, because they were matching, you know, body parts to people, and they found a leg, and it still had military camo trouser on it. And they couldn't match that leg up with anybody. They don't know who that person was or what they were doing there. And it just got memory hold. They hung everything on Timothy McVeigh, execute him, and that was the end of it. And you see, it fit right in there with the militia boogeyman narrative. People will call you jaded. People will call you a conspiracy theorist. It's just called having experience. They try to have people have this mindset of zero history. You're supposed to forget what happened yesterday. I think that's one of the reasons now they're doing the same things they've always done, but they're doing it in rapid succession so that your mind, as a part of its own defense, as a mental defense, you'll start compartmentalizing. You forget about running out and buying the toilet paper during COVID, because if you keep taking in all of the lies and the insanity narratives they keep shoving down your throat, you might very well just go insane. So your mind is a self-defense mechanism, will compartmentalize these things. And as such, they can pull the same crap on you that they pulled a few short years ago, and you'll go out and buy all the damn toilet paper. Because you forget about that. You start adapting what they want you to have, which is a zero history mindset. Forget what they said last week. This is what we say today. If you forget what they said last week, if you forget what they did a couple of years ago, you for sure will forget what they've done in decades past. We'll wrap up on that note. I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Again, I hope you've had a chance to catch our great content up here that we've put up this week on Radio Album. The great thing about it is, if you haven't caught it yet, you can download it or you can listen to it on the site and catch it. Dr. Johnson had a great show up yesterday, his Daily Nationalist show on the Israeli-Iran conflict. So be sure and check that out. Be sure and check it all out. I think it's all good. Again, I hope you have a great weekend. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.